Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is anointed. Father, your word changes lives. Your word, Father, is what you use in order to create this universe. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are open. I thank you that there's a revelatory anointing that's upon your word. I thank you that the word is going down to the inmost being. It's changing us from the inside out. I thank you that these are words of eternal life, the words that are etched, Father, and enclosed in Scripture. Oh God, and Lord, we're believing the Holy Spirit to bring life and that more abundantly through the word today. Let the word of God go forward freely. Let the word of God go forward in a realm, Father God, that brings changes. Father, we take authority over every yoke that would try to steal the word. We command every unclean spirit to lift off now in the mighty name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're declaring there's a breakthrough of revelation. We're declaring a breakthrough of your word. We're declaring that breakthrough anointing is coming in, and there's light and truth penetrating unto our inmost being, Father, producing fruit for eternity from your word and from your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we're believing you for that in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen, amen, hallelujah. Okay, so today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, where we're going to read a generous portion of Scripture. I think it's important that we have generous portions of Scripture. Man, when we go next door, I'm sure some people will have generous portions of lunch, right? So we need to eat the Word of God. It's life eternal. It's that God gives us. It's His Word that He values above His name. His Word is profound. He is so good. Okay, so Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 14. And we're going to go all the way down to verse 30. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, and it says, "For it will be like a young man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you've delivered to me 5 talents here, and I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he who also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. Into that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. So we're looking at a discourse. Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 25, if you go before it, he was talking about the end times. He's talking about what will happen at the very end of the age. And he was talking about the 10 virgins and the 5 foolish and 5 wise. And we find that there were those that were wise and they kept themselves filled with oil. So the message there is keeping ourselves filled with the presence of the Lord and abiding in the Lord. And the 5 foolish were the ones that didn't have oil in their lamps and they let the oil go out. And so moving on, now Jesus is also talking about the end times in this parable here, and he's talking about a man that was a very, very wealthy man, and the man says, I'm going to go away on a journey, and so I've got all this wealth because I'm a very, 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 very wealthy man, extremely wealthy man. Think of Bill Gates saying, I'm going to give you my enterprise to look over. Now, what are you going to do with it? And so he's bringing his servants here because he wants to go on a journey, and it's going to be a long journey. So he's leaving all of his wealth, all of his possessions, all of his business, his industry, everything over here. He's completely walking away from it to do something even in a far land, something very distant. So it's his life work that's over here. Everything that he has counted to have meaning, he's leaving it to his servants. And believe it or not, this was not uncommon in those days. When a business owner would go on a journey, he would have those that he trusts to handle all of his wealth and all the resources and everything that he had, and he would leave it with the trusted ones. Now, I like to kind of break these things down to where we live today because we're talking about a talent. We don't talk about talents today, not in this sense. Well, what was a talent? Well, a talent, it was a unit of weight. So a talent was something that they used a weight. In Britain, they used stones at one point, and I forget how many pounds it was, 12 pounds or something or other for a stone. But in these days, at this time in the Jewish history, they all would have known what a talent was. So a talent was approximately 75 pounds of weight. And so it was a large unit of weight. And why did they use that large unit? Because it was what they dealt with, silver and gold. So he's saying that, and a modern thing was to use silver. So he's saying that I've got a talent, 75 pounds of silver. I should have looked that up to see what that would be worth today. I know gold, and they spoke about talents of gold. I looked it up last night, and it was over $4,000 US for a pound. Now, we're talking huge amounts of money here. So he's dividing up 75 pounds of silver, okay, that's a lot of money. In fact, the people of that day, they wouldn't have thought about a talent of silver. They wouldn't have had that kind of money. That would have been for somebody else. Who would it have been for? It would have been for the kings. And when the kings were doing business, maybe they would be paying an army and they would speak in terms of talents. Or maybe they would be doing something that would affect, you know, like a large portion of the nation, and they would speak of talents of silver. So I'm creating a picture here. If you were here in modern day Israel only 2,000 years ago, it was modern for you, but 2,000 years ago, if that makes sense. It was talking about a lot of money. Wow. They would have shook back when they heard Jesus talking about that kind of money. They wouldn't be relating to it on a personal level. So if we look at that today, and I was just began to ruminate in my mind and thinking that what is the average wage of a Canadian in this day and age. And why am I saying that? Because a talent was worth about 20 years' wages of an average laborer. So one talent, 20 years of work for the average laborer. So it was a lot of money. He wasn't talking chump change. He wasn't talking about a tip. No, it was a large amount of money. And I'm stressing this point for a reason. So if we bring that to modern day, now, the average wage of a Canadian, not sure, minimum wage in Ontario is what, 17 and change an hour, and maybe somebody that works as an electrician maybe gets 35, 40, 45, someone in healthcare maybe 50, and maybe a business owner gets $100 an hour if you work out what they're doing, and other businesses maybe $200, $300, and maybe lawyers are worth $400 and $500 an hour, and maybe doctors are worth $1,000 depending on what they do. So if you look across the boards in our nation and you try to figure out what the average wage was, I began to kind of even lowball it to show how extreme this amount of money was. Now let's just say that the average wage across the nation, let's just throw out a figure, maybe $25 an hour. Let's just say that. Some might make more, some might make less, but that's not something that's too hard to believe or too extreme in the day across the whole sector of our economy in our nation. So I'm going to get three different volunteers. Vicky, if you want to come up and stand right here. So pretend that I'm the master in modern day, or I'm the business owner in modern day. And so, Vicky, I'm going on a far journey. I need someone reliable that I can trust in order to invest everything I have to take this serious, because it's a lot of money. And I'm only going to give you one talent, right? But it's going to be worth $975,000 Canadian, okay? So I'm giving you $975,000 Canadian, and I want you to invest that. I want you to multiply it. That is a lot of money. It means a lot to me. I need you to work with that. So that was the one talent, almost $1 million if we try to factor that into our economy. Now, could you imagine your boss saying, I'm giving you $1 million. I want you to invest it. You know what? You would take a whole different tone when you're thinking about your work. That's a lot of money. And so the next one, Pastor Charlene, if you want to come up. Now, to Vicky, one talent. Now, Pastor Charlene, I'm going on a long journey, and I'm going to give you two talents worth of my resources, of my money, and that comes into $1.95 million, so almost $2 million. Okay, now, Randy, if you want to come up, I really trust you, and I've given you a lot of confidence that I have. I'm going to give you five talents, and yours is worth $4,875,000. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a man that was very, 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 very wealthy, that took all of his resources, his life work, everything that meant something to him, and he was giving it to those ones that he trusted, his servants. I trust these ones to multiply it. I trust these ones to take it serious. I trust these ones to bring about more. When I come back, I'm going to look for this. So what happens as we read in the scripture? Verse 15, to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. So he didn't give everybody the same thing. It was according to their ability. He knew what was inside of them. He knew how intelligent they were. He knew their giftings. He knew the things that were downloaded inside of them. And according to their ability, he says, I'm going to give you this sum of resource, this massive amount of resource. Now, what is that? Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man, which is Jesus, that's going off into a far journey, and he takes the most valuable thing that there possibly is, which is the kingdom of heaven. And he's downloading it to those that he trusts. And he said that, I want you to take this thing seriously. I want you to multiply it. I want you to use all that you have to multiply the kingdom of God. So as we go on, it says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them and made 5 more talents. So Randy, at once, the scripture says, he took this thing immediately, at once. Yes, $4.875 million is a lot of money. So Randy runs, the Bible says, at once. And he's trading with Rose, and he's selling to Darnley, and he's selling to Pastor Anne Marie, and then he comes back and he's filled with joy and he makes $4.875 million more dollars. He uses everything that was in him in order to advance the master's resources at once. Now, let's move on. So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 more. So Pastor Charlene goes off. Now she moves over and starts trading with Joyce. And now she's trading over here. She's trading. And she's investing. And she's thinking about this. She's applying everything that she can in order to make more money in this case right here. Now, verse 18, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So get out your shovel. I want you to sit on and pick up your phone. So this one ended up getting a shovel, digging. Come on up here. And had a lot of spare time on her hands. So she sat down, started reading her phone. The others were working, investing, even at the master's talent. This one hit it and now was watching videos, looking at the latest gossip that's going on in Hollywood, looking at all the music and entertainment industry, going on to TikTok and Facebook and all these different things. And the money is... it's kind of buried over here. There it is. It's sort of buried. Where the other two are applying everything that the master is giving, and there's been a huge multiplication. Now, in verse 19, the Bible says, now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So when the master comes back, he's looking for something. What did you do with all of the resources that I've given you? What did you do with it? He's coming back specifically to look for that. And so the application in the day that we're living in is all the different talents that God has given you in terms of the, what are the talents? The talents are the resources of heaven, the resources that God has given you and has given me. This is what he's coming back for. He said, I'm going to look and bring you into a place of accountability. I know that I've been gone a long time, but I'm coming back and I'm going to see what you've done with the resources that you have. Maybe you have a resource you're able to cook. What did you use that talent for? Maybe you had a brain for business. What did you do with all the money that you made? Maybe you had the ability, you were very social. Maybe you were very intelligent. Maybe you had a prophetic anointing upon you. Maybe you had a gifting of helps and you like to help out and to feed the poor. All the different resources that are downloaded through the kingdom of heaven, he's coming back at the end of the day and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you in the realm of my kingdom? Now, these two realize, the five and the two talents, this is very valuable. The kingdom of heaven is extremely valuable. It's the most valuable thing that's on planet Earth. It is extremely valuable, and God has entrusted a huge amount to them, and they realize that. Wow, this is what God has given me, so I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to cause it to go forward and bear fruit, fruit that would remain. It is worth a great value. So I'm saying at the end of the day is we need to realize the value of what God has given us. It's not a thing of going to church maybe on Sunday if I feel like it. It's not a church thing on Sunday if the weather's not bad. No, it's a thing about he's coming back for a place of accountability. I've given you all the resources of heaven. I want to see it multiplied. I want to come back and I want to see fruit that will remain. I want to see my kingdom expanded. So there's something about realizing the value of what the Master has entrusted to us. There's something about realizing how valuable it is. And I want to say, is the kingdom of God valuable? Is the kingdom of God worth getting uncomfortable for? Is it worth working for? Is it applying your giftings and talents and finances and resources? Is it worth that? He's coming back in order to see how we've spent our resource of time. He's coming back to see how we handled our spouses. He's coming back to see how we handled our families. He's coming back to see how we've handled our parents. He's coming back to see how we've handled our prayer life and how we've handled the Word of God and how we've shared our faith and all the different things. Have we volunteered in church and have we fed the poor and all these different things? He says, I'm coming back to see how you handled the kingdom of God. It's my biggest resource. I couldn't give you anything more than my name and my word and everything that's about the importance of what I've called you to. There's something about the veil coming off in the day that we're in. Why? Because our culture puts a veil on us. Our culture says make a lot of money. Our culture says put all your time and effort into money. Jesus says you can serve God or money. There's nothing wrong with having money unless you're serving it. If money is your servant, praise the Lord, let you get a lot of it. But then if it's your servant where it's all your dedication, all your time, your love, your effort, everything is a part of that where you're just so wrapped around money or any other thing in the world, there's a danger point of the culture that comes in that direction. It comes in that direction when our focus is not even upon the Lord, but it's upon the things of the world. And our culture is designed in order to do that. What do you mean? Well, the culture says get a good job, get a whole lot of money, get a big house, get lots of investments, spend it on yourself, live a comfortable life, be happy. These are the goals that will make you most happy living in the Western world. These are the things that are the best things that you could possibly do. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying in this vapor of time, this little bit of time that you're on planet Earth, James 4:14, the Bible says, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. During that vapor of time, were you living for yourself? Were you living for your comfort? Were you living for a way that would make you comfortable and easy? And is something that wouldn't be of any stress and something that wouldn't be of any work? Or were you investing it all in the thing that I've entrusted you to, the thing I've entrusted you with? How are you spending the resources of heaven that I've given you? This is what he's saying in the parable. And his desire is to bless your socks off. What do you mean? Well, the one that got 5 talents, he says, I'm so happy. He says, I'm going to give you 5 more. And notice the wording in the scripture. When he said, the master came back and said to him, you've been faithful in a little. So at the end of the day, faithful in a little, if we think of it in our day and age, $4.875 million, God says, that's just a little. That's just a smidgen. That's just a little dust on my shoe. That is not worth much at all. But you've been faithful in a little. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I'm going to give you pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to live eternity in a realm of great joy. You're going to be a very prosperous man. You're going to have great responsibility and live a life through all of eternity. This is what he's saying. Now, to the one that had 2 talents, it was the same reward because he went according to their ability. The same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've invested it. You've doubled it. And now I'm going to bless you for all of eternity. And so this one goes into eternity with the joy of the master. Do we want to stand before him when he's disappointed? Do we want to stand to what he said? What did you do? Wasn't my word of value? Wasn't my kingdom of value? He wants us to be radically blessed. That's his nature. He's radically good. He's kind. He sets us up for success. He desires to give you. It's this great pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven that lasts for all of eternity. And this life is even that is a sowing and a reaping that we might live for all of eternity. High on the hog, as they say, to live a blessed life through all of eternity. The culture says there's many different things that you could be doing with your time that are very important. But those things at the end of the day, when Jesus comes back and he sees the church, and I think this might be the Western church, I don't know. But in Revelation, when he says that you think you're rich and increase with goods, but you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Your emphasis wasn't on spiritual things. It wasn't on my kingdom. It was all about the things of the world and all about yourself. It's what he's saying to that church of the 7 churches that came into an end time judgment. The ones that said that were rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. They were filled with themselves. They were filled with everything but God. And that's, I think, the danger in the Western world. The Western world was a leader, and it trumpeted the praises of God, and God blessed the Western nations. And then many of the Western nations began to get lazy and began to get carnal and turn away from the things of God and decided that we're going to bring God down in the culture. We're going to bring God down in our importance. We're going to bring God down in the value that we place upon him. Instead of $4.875 million, we're going to make it $4.85. It's not that important to have a relationship with God. $4.85. Not really that important to read the Bible. Do you know you could be reading Harry Potter, for goodness sakes? You could be reading all about witchcraft. This is what our culture has gotten to. It's gone crazy. Poor and blind and dumb and naked in the realm of spiritual things. Our culture has gone in many ways to that. We're going to legitimize things that are sin, and we're going to make that the law. And those of you that stand against it, we're going to make you to be bad and terrible people. Our culture has gone to a point now where the blinders have come on. The blinders have been applied. This is the danger of the hour that we are living in, where Christianity becomes a once in a while deal. It becomes a church on Sunday and nothing throughout the week. It becomes even secondary to a number of different things. We're going to church and being on time is just another choice in the box. I can go for a picnic today. I can go shopping. I can sleep in. I can do all kinds of different things right now. There's something about when we devalue the kingdom of God that works out not for our benefit. The enemy says it'll be to your advantage to take it easy, be comfortable, relax, don't worry, don't stress, let somebody else do it. You don't have to talk to anybody. No, just relax. You'll be benefited that way. It'll feed your flesh. It'll make you feel good. That is the lie of the enemy trying to snuff us out. Why? Because the servant that had the one talent had that kind of attitude. And the master came back and said, "What did you do with my money? Get off your phone for 2 minutes, please. What did you do with all the resources? This is my resources. I gave you my best. I gave you my all. I gave you everything that I have, everything of value, and I trusted you. What did you do with my resources?" And he finds the talents buried in the dirt. In the dirt. And in modern day, I gave you almost $1 million. And you buried it. And you were on your phone. You buried it. You could have at least invested it. Maybe a little bit of prayer at least. Maybe something, invested it in order to see some kind of multiplication. But now I'm going to take this talent. And I'm going to give it to the one that was faithful. I'm going to give it to the one that says my kingdom is of value. I'm going to give it to the one that says my kingdom has great value, and you recognize the value, and you love me, and you love the value that I've given, and I'm going to cause you to prosper for all of eternity more than what you originally had, because the one that had and didn't want it, I'm giving it over to you. If you don't want what God will give you, he'll give it to somebody else. There's a red 911. Come on. I've seen it before where somebody has a call in ministry and they've said, "No way, Jose, I don't want it." And I've seen them leave. And I've seen the Lord say, "Okay, you didn't want it. I'm going to give it to this one over here." Wow, it is a serious thing that he's called us to. The one in essence that didn't really want it, that wanted a life that was comfortable and easy and very little work and very little stress and kept everything for herself, and all the money that she made was all hers and it was the most important thing. So she buried the talent that God had given her. She buried the resources of heaven that God had given and buried it and treated it like it was dirt and went on her phone. Now, when they stand before the master, who has the most joy here? And it's not even, no, the answer isn't this one. These two are completely identical. So come on over here. Come on over here. In eternity, you won't be able to differentiate. But he had five and she had two. No, it's what you've been given, whether you have used it or not used it. That is what it is. So if you're called with two talents of the resources of heaven and you multiply it, the same reward as what the one had five talents and multiplied it. So there's no differentiation between the rewards. You might think that somebody like Billy Graham or Joyce Meyer or somebody is going to be the one that's been given, you know, the five talents, the 10 talents, the 25 talents. And yes, they were. But if they did, they have the same reward as the one that were maybe called to work in the King's Way and serve faithfully doing what God wanted them to do. There'll be no differentiation between the two. It's not how big your ministry is. It is not whether you're Mr. Big or Mrs. Big. It's not all about that. It's about your willingness to be used. It's about your faithfulness to be used. It's about you saying, God, I'm willing. Here I am. Use me. I'll use whatever I have. You want me to cook? I'll cook. You want me to serve? I'll serve. You want me to clean? I'll clean. You want me to share my testimony? I'll share my testimony. You want me to pray? I'll pray. God, whatever you've given me, I'll use it. You always have something to use. No matter what the circumstances or what the situation is, you and I always have something to use. We always have something to use. Thank you, Lord. Now, this one right here, and I'm not going to say it's Vicky because Vicky's faithful. I'm going to say this is Sally. Okay, we're going to change identities for a quick second here. This one said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Now listen to the words. I knew you to be a hard man. Okay, so the essence is the picture of God here was very inaccurate. Now, some scholars will say this one wasn't saved, but the principle of having a misunderstanding of God, that has big consequences. Maybe you see God as with a lightning bolt. Maybe you see him as non-merciful. Maybe because of some of the damages in your life. I'm saying those things can hinder our service from God if we don't have an accurate picture. So I believe these ones were spending time in the Word, getting to know the Master, whereas this one was on Facebook and was on TikTok and all these Instagrams and all these different things and stayed in a mindset where I knew you to be a hard man. Now, the Scripture, is it talking about this one was unsaved and didn't know the Lord, or was it the parts inside of the one that was saved that were carnal and living in the flesh, and we don't know God by the flesh, we know him by revelatory realms? I'll leave that up to you and for you to work that one through. But I am saying that at the end of the day, if we have, like this one, a wrong picture of God, that can hinder our relationship with him. It can hinder our service with him. It can hinder how we handle the things of God. So I want to encourage you is with the example of this one right here, get to know him. And I say that to me. I say that to you. When I look back, Michelle, I could see where I've wasted time, and I'm being honest. I could see where I've wasted time. I can see where I've been on fire. I can see other times where I've wasted. And I'm going to give an account for that one day. I can see times where I've been profoundly in the Word of God, deeply memorizing Scripture, going at it. And other times where I've been lazy and on my phone. I can see that too. But I'm going to stand before the Lord in the midst of all that, and I'm going to have to give an account. What did I do with the Word? How did I get to know him? Did I get to know him? What is my picture like? Was I lazy in terms of serving him? Was I fearful? That was the other thing that he spoke about here. I was afraid. If the fear of making a mistake, or the fear of it not going well, or the fear of it not being perfect holds you back, then you're standing in a place was I was afraid. So I didn't do anything. I hid my talent in the ground. It's better to do it afraid and do it imperfectly, but just like Nike, to just do it, There have been times when I've done things, Michelle, I've been nervous, I've been shaken, I've been uncomfortable. But if I have to live my life at a place where everything is all laid out for my comfort and everything is all laid out so that there's no risk, no possibility of anything going wrong, if I'm living in that place of fear, then at the end of the day, it will hinder me from doing the work of God. I've found in pastoring and all the things that God has called me to, there have been fears and times I have to do it afraid, and there have been weaknesses and insecurities and self-doubt and all these different things. But if I listen to all these things and if I let it run my life, if I let it control my life, I'm going to miss what God has called me to do, and I don't want to miss it. So I want to say to you, wherever you're at and whatever the resources that God has given you, again, your time, your abilities, the giftings, the anointings, the Word of God, your personality, your intellect, your desire, and the big one is your willingness. He's given you a big, giant choice called willingness. I'm ready to activate the willingness spindle. I'm ready to put that thing into gear, the willingness gear. I'm ready to put that thing into gear. And when you put the willingness gear in, you go forward. When you release the willingness gear, then you just stay there and do nothing. He's given us willingness, and at the end of the day, he's not looking for those that are tremendously gifted. He's looking for those that are willing. 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 That is what he's looking for more than anything. Why? Because Paul said when he wrote the epistles in Colossians and Philippians and so forth, it says, Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. The Lord doesn't call you because you're so wonderfully qualified. He says, are you willing? And then I'll give you the qualifications. I'll give you the abilities. I'll give you what you need. I'll give you everything that you need in order to do my will. It will be within your realm of possibility because I'll give you that ability. So there's something about the choice that says, I am willing, or no, I am not willing. There's something about that that is a huge, huge choice. Because once you put that thing in gear, God will cause you to grow. He'll cause you to abound. The grace will come upon you, man. You might be able to jump that high. And that's all you can do. But with the Spirit of God, he'll cause you to do more than what you ever thought you could do. He'll take your weaknesses and he'll turn them into strengths. I heard it said one time when I was a young Christian and I loved it. God will take your scars and turn them into stars. If you let him take the woundedness, the fears, all the things that you're, you know, maybe worried and afraid and all these kinds of things, if you give those hurts and pains over to him, man, he'll not only heal you, but he'll use that thing to be a star of his glory. Why? Because his strength is made perfect in weakness. So our weaknesses is not something that says, I couldn't do that because I was too weak. I couldn't do that because I just didn't have the ability. No, when he calls you to be something, when he's called you to do something, he gives you the strength and the ability, and he moves upon you even in the realm of desire. But he says, what is your choice in the midst of it? Because if you use it, it will abound. If you don't use it, you just might lose it. And we don't want to be in that place where our giftings and everything that God, he says, you're not going to use it. Okay, let me give it to this one over here because they're willing. So the day that we're living in, man, if you're not seeing alarm bells right now, if you're not, and if I'm not seeing alarm bells, the things that they're trying to pass in a government that at one time wrote scriptures on the parliament buildings, it's a scary time. It's not a time to be on our phones. It's not a time to be ho-hum about the things of God. You can do that if you want, but he'll take that talent and give it to someone that's willing. There is a call in the day that we are living in to utilize the resources, much is at stake with that. If you're in love with your phone, that's a dangerous place. If all you do is like 8 hours a day on your phone or playing video games or all these different things, there's something very, very dangerous in terms of eternity with all that. That's what the culture says, but the kingdom of God says nothing, says different. Am I saying we can't go on our phones? I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying if this thing is out of balance and it's just got your attention. I've been in prayer sometimes, and then I'll get a notification, I'll stop and look. I'm doing something not right at that point. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I've had to just take my phone and put it away and then get into prayer, right? Because I want to place some value. If it's 4.87 million or whatever value, I want to treat it as value. And before you know it, I've worked in a hospital for 30 years. Your body's going to be 6 foot under. I mean, my body's going to be 6 foot under. I've seen it. I don't know how many people I've seen pass away in hospital. Thousands over the years. Thousands. It happens. The graves keep going up even near where we live, there was an empty graveyard. Man, these tombstones are going up, and they're going up, and they're going up, and one's going to have your name in it. And maybe beside you, my name's going to be it. And beside that, Pastor Emery, and beside that, Pastor Patty. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that comes the judgment. And when he comes back, he's going to look, what did you do with all the wonderful things that I've entrusted you to have? I love you. I want to bless you. I want to see my kingdom expanded. I want to use you. I love you so much. I've given you the most valuable thing that I can, and I want you to say, yes, I'm willing. So today we're talking also about stepping into fellowship. And what is that exactly? Well, we're saying that if you're at a place where you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you know that God has led you to this place, and if you would like to stand up and say, yes, this is where God has called me, this is what God wants me to do, and to come under the vision of the ministry. There's a profound vision of the ministry. I mean, we're feeding thousands and thousands of people. And every time you're giving out food, Jesus is saying, you've fed me. And every time you've given them clothes, he's saying, you've clothed me. And every time you've shared your testimony and been a listening ear, he said, you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Therefore, you've done it to me. So as we're stepping into fellowship, everybody needs to be under a leadership, a God-ordained, God-given leadership, in order to be in a body. Usually people that are isolated and say that I'm a part of the body of Christ, usually they've got some issue, I find, in the ones that I've spoken to. Usually there's an issue. They've been hurt. Or maybe they just don't want to commit, or they don't want accountability. Because sometimes you come to church, you hear messages that are convicting. But that's good. That's good. We have to hear messages that are convicting. Sometimes I've left messages, and man, I'm repenting and all that. I need to repent. I have a flesh nature. I need to bring this thing under. When you're under a local body, be it this one or whichever one God has called you to, be under a local body. Don't be a long ranger. And if you're online and you're a long ranger and you're just wanting to drift and do whatever and visit all sorts of different churches and ministry and never commit, I want to say that that is not a healthy place to be. That you need to come under a place where God has called you to be, under leadership that God has ordained to be in your life, and under a vision that the kingdom of heaven can be advanced. So I just want to create an atmosphere. We're doing a stepping into fellowship today. We're going to have two altar calls. If that's you today and you want to come up and you feel as though God is calling you to be a part of a transformation center and a part of Eagle Worldwide here at the Hub, then I want you to come on up here and we're going to receive you in fellowship. We're going to honor your gifts and your talents and we're going to pray a blessing over you if that's your choice. And if you're at a point where you just feel as though you want a deeper pressing into God to use your talents more and to use the resources that he's given you and to use everything that God has downloaded in your life because you want to see his kingdom multiplied. And if you're at a point where you just feel as though I can step out a little bit more. I can step out in a bigger way, and I want to testify by standing up before the Lord. Then I want those of you that are in that boat to come here. So those are the two that if you want to just before the Lord, and it's mainly before the Lord, but before people, that I'm at a point where I just want to really step in and do what I'm called to do. I want to be willing. I want to use the resources of heaven. Come on up. Those of you that have a call and you know you're called to be here in this church, come on up and we're going to bless both.